Well, good morning, dear Margaret, Mayor Ansida, and delegates attending this important meeting, I would say, on Europe, of diversity, integration, and also socialization of migrants. So I would say that I'm really honored to welcome you in the Maltese Parliament, the House of Representatives, where, as you know, where you are sitting, elected members of Parliament gather every day. I mean, in a couple of hours we have another sitting to discuss, to evaluate, and also, of course, enact legislation which is intended to enhance the common good of our country, of our societies, of our people. Now, when I say, and I make reference to our societies, this automatically underlines the relevance of the closeness of our societies as your country within the European Union. Of course, including the common aspirations of the European Union, our values, which we need to revisit our values, that we are the people of Europe that we share. Now, the core principles and values of Europe are, of course, two major values: democracy and the respect of the fundamental rights and freedoms of the individual person. And I'm talking about the fundamental rights because these are also enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was done on the 10th of December 1948 after the Second World War. But there was also the European Convention also for the protection of human rights and the protection of fundamental freedoms, which was also signed in Rome on the 4th of November 1950, that was 2 years after, which of course that in itself established also the creation of the European Court of Human Rights, which we know we commonly refer to as the Court in Strasbourg. And also the Charter, and this is very important, the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, which was done quite recently, I mean 10 years ago, on 26 October in 2012. So these important legal conventions, legal texts, have established not only the norms that govern the protection of fundamental rights and freedoms of individuals, but laid down also the institutions in practice. That is, we have now the European Court, as I said, of Justice in Luxembourg. We also have that within the European institutions, as guarantors of those important legal precepts to European citizens and other nationals. Now, these European courts have transnational jurisdiction. So whatever is decided has to be applied in the respective countries. They are not domestic, but have an international enforcement. And this is, of course, it's normal to safeguard and enforce the rights and freedoms of each individual within the European Union in the respective government of the country where the judgment is addressed. Now, the context leading to such important legal statutes is well known. That is, we know why we reached to sign the 1948 Universal Declaration, the 2012, as an aftermath of what humanity experienced during the World War I, but even worse, during the World War II. States subscribing in 1948 Universal Declaration, as you know, declared, for example, and I quote, disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind. Couldn't be described even better. So to prevent such recurrence, the international community, rightly so, agreed that human rights shall enjoy fundamental human rights in the dignity and worth for the human person and in equal rights of men and women. And I emphasize this, men and women, and enjoy also the social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. They also acknowledge that all members of the human family are entitled, each one of them, to freedom, each one of them to justice, each one of them to peace in the world. Now, it is written there. Now, it's the application that's important. So Article 14, for example, prescribes that every person has the right to seek and enjoy in other countries. That's why we are discussing this subject. In other countries, asylum from persecution. This right may not be invoked in the case of criminal prosecutions. Because, as you know, if you commit a crime in country A and somehow you end up in country B, that does not give you the right to escape prosecution. We are talking about persecutions, not prosecutions. So this right may not be invoked in the case of criminal prosecutions or acts contrary to the principles or purposes of the United Nations. Now, as you know, what happened in the last World War, we are still, unfortunately, we are still regularly witnessing people being tortured. We are still witnessing degrading treatment. We are still witnessing persecution, which I refer to, slavery, human trafficking, expulsion from homes and expulsion from their own countries. Persons subjected to inhumane treatment, the worst treatment ever, was still happening today. And this is a direct consequence of course, political upheavals, regional conflicts, I would say illicit exploitation throughout the world, including, unfortunately, that's why I said we have to revisit our values, including the European Union. We do have cases of this kind of treatment. So in future, possibly also in the very near future, we may also have the experience and experience mass migratory flows of people as a direct consequence of natural disasters, because we have the problem of the climate change. The environmental conditions could result in sea level rise, as is happening in other countries in the Pacific, Tuvalu and other countries. Well, if we don't react to prevent, we will have these consequences. In recent years, migration has also been attributed to economic reasons, where people in the least developed countries, rightly so, try to seek better conditions. And so they try to cross to Europe, they try to go to North Africa, to North America and other countries. I can give you a statistic which is very clear. The number of migrants worldwide has increased from 2000, that is 22 years ago, from 173 million in 2020, in 2000, to 220 million in 2010. And now, up to 3 years ago, 258 million. So this is just to have an idea of what's happening with regards to the problem of migration. So since the foundation of the European communities, European Union, which evolved, as you know, from the European Economic Community to European Union, and of course the Union of Sovereign States, with a common, well, let's put it that way, common denominator, that is having a democratic system of government, and respect, as I said, for the fundamental rights and freedom of the individual, and try, because not always we managed to convince all the 27 states now, because we, after Brexit we are 27, of coordinating politics aimed at enhancing social welfare. Why am I saying so? Because we don't have a common policy on migration. I mean, we are still discussing what should be the ideal policy. And years after years, there is not a clear common policy on migration. We talk about a lot of it, but some countries are cooperative, other countries try to take a distance, other countries take a position. So, I would say it's important that Europe must work further, and we have to make our position even stronger in making a positive reputation of political stability, common affluence. We have to show more generosity and openness within a background of growing international conflicts and global poverty. Subsequently, I would say Europe has become more than ever before the so-called preferred destination for persons fleeing poor countries. That is something that we have been experiencing. For example, the Mediterranean basin, I mean Malta, happens to be down there. I mean, we don't have a choice. We are close to Africa, but we are part of Europe. We are the smallest nation in the European Union. Yet, the Mediterranean basin constitutes in itself the main and dominant route for migrants to reach Europe. They leave the Libyan shores. The first country that they reach is either Malta or the island of Lampedusa. That's because we are down there. I mean, Mediterranean countries, Italy, Malta, I would say also Greece, when they leave other shores, or Cyprus, are often called upon to rescue and host migrants crossing from Africa, as I am saying, to Europe. I'm talking about tens of thousands of migrants, which unfortunately also thousands, I would say even tens of thousands, and I quote the Pope now, Pope Francis, end up dead in the sea. In fact, very often it's called, may then become a cemetery of death of those who try to reach Europe. The cemetery of migrants. So these migrants may not have chosen the appropriate, of course, legal manner to seek entry into Europe, but they have no choice. What choice do they have? I would say they, however, are still entitled to be rescued. That's international law. One of the norms of international law. You have to rescue a person in distress. You have to pick him up from the sea. You have to take care of him. You have to give the rights of that person the due hearing in their efforts to seek refuge and humanitarian protection, as of course is outlined in other international conventions, like the Protocol Relating the Status of Refugees of 1967. There is also the one of 1951. Of course, we don't need to go into detail. This is the international conventions. However, they are also entitled, irrespective of the reason why they crossed, for a fair and just hearing. So close collaboration between the EU member states, and that's why I emphasize we need to have a clear, coherent political approach common for all European nations as a European Union strategy in order to understand what is nearly essential in order to mitigate abuse, including those related to national security concerns. Of course, the term diversity implies tolerance and also adherence to the legal structures of the land, respective country, in our case, national and European legislations. However, the fact that we are European people, uphold democratic precepts and respect for the rights and fundamental freedoms of the individual person. I emphasize that diversity, which by the very nature is included in the social fabric of the European society, can be looked also as being positive, as it is enriching even our culture. We have the Maltese culture, the Italian culture, the Belgian culture, the Bulgarian culture. That culture, it enriches our European personality. So diversity in itself is a positive value. It is also in the interest of the European society that those bona fide migrants, the true conscious migrants who want to settle in the respective society in Europe, that have a conscience that is in term with the European values, are assisted so that they feel also accepted by society at large. This is very important. And henceforth, enhance the process of their inclusion and also inject in themselves, in the migrants, a sense of belonging. If you don't feel that you are belonging to a society, you are eventually going to be a problem to that society. You have to feel that you belong to that society. Well, when we talk about migration, when we talk about the migratory challenge, European governments and European institutions should seek, and I emphasize this very strongly to all of you, we need to work that the European Union should seek an all-encompassing plan of action, not fragmented, and that should include EU-funded programs intended to also address poverty and support human development and also initiatives in education, environment protection, infrastructure, etc. So I want to conclude that all efforts by the national governments, Malta included, your country included, should be within the EU policy that is common, that should be complemented and aimed at securing viable programs, including manufacturing, including commercial facilities, intent to enhance human development as a whole, improve the standards of living to such levels that would ensure that local population in Africa, for example, where the main problem of migration is, and elsewhere, would be classified as a dignified and sustainable livelihood. I want to thank you for your attention, but I think this is a subject which is very important to all of the European members within the European Union. Thank you very much. Thank you. I now call Margaret Ballachino Cefai, Mayor of Msira.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Dr. Angelo Farrugia, President of our Maltese Parliament, for having extended your welcome to the delegates of various European councils and municipalities participating in this EU co-funded project, Europe of Diversity, Integration and Socialization of Migrants. As from July 2019, the newly elected councils have seen an increase in their responsibilities. Among these new responsibilities, we find the appointment of a councillor responsible for the integration of communities within the locality. This is just the first step of a process which will enable integration and socialisation of migrants within our diverse communities, promoting social cohesion through dialogue. Socialisation is a two-way process that enables the incoming immigrant and the host community to understand and adapt to each other's norms and values. In this kind of process, dialogue is initiated on the commonalities rather than discussing what we disagree about. I am convinced that when cultural barriers are broken down, we will find that diverse cultures can exist side by side, creating a social bridge that allows each resident to feel a sense of pride and belonging within the community. Due to its geographical location within the Maltese archipelago, the Msida locality boasts of a mix of diverse cultures and rich traditions. Diversity brings with it challenges that our local council has chosen to address the challenges through acquired knowledge, communication, understanding and goodwill. These last few years, the world has witnessed an increase in migration and movement of workers across continents and countries. The Msida Local Council is no exception, and we are also part of the globalization process. During the last decade, there was an increase in the migrant population within the locality, and it is the very diversity that has created the challenges that we face in our locality. Communicating with the leaders or representatives of different cultural groups are essential in surmounting the cultural gaps that exist between the migrants and the local community, and even between the migrants themselves. Community leaders and each and every one of us need to promote cohesion through respect, acceptance and increased efforts to communicate and understand each other. Malta, for many centuries, through occupation, tourism and immigration, has been in contact with many different cultures, religions and influences. However, the sense of pride and belonging that exists within our country had contributed towards a peaceful, friendly and stable state. Subsequently, Maltese governments throughout the year made their best effort to dismantle cultural barriers and transform the Maltese island into a cultural, business and educational hub. I take this opportunity to thank you all for choosing Malta to be part of this wonderful project. The Msida Local Council looks forward to participating in more projects that extend the hand of friendship across cultural barriers and nations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margaret. And I want to thank you for your excellent services in the community also, and this initiative is a case in point. But if there are anybody who wants to make some observation or ask some questions or just show your hand and take the floor. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You can take off the muscle so that you'll be... Your vocal voice will be more enriched.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. My name is Samuel Mweze. I represent OPAD, Organization for Poverty Alleviation and Development in Sweden, founded in Sweden in 2006, and right now working globally, including so many countries in Africa. I come originally from Nigeria, so I am glad to be part of this project. I thank Ilika for including OPAD in this, because this is at the very heart of what we do. And for the first time, I am sitting in a conference where Africa is coming up in almost every speech, identified as one of the problem areas, one of the sources of massive migration into Europe and North America. And the reason is very simple. There are so much problem there. And from working from Sweden, OPAD is trying to do something to show that Africa, if Africans can be kept in Africa, then people who really have reasons to migrate, because migration is a given, it has to happen. In Nigeria, where I come from, there are people from Europe that are working there. They are migrants. So it's both ways, but it has to be reasonable migration. So what OPAD is doing is to provide credible sources of livelihood, given the mega resources that we have, and looking for partnerships from everywhere to see that if people in Africa can have good, relatively, not perfect, source of livelihood. They want to stay in Africa. Nobody likes to leave his or her father's home for nothing. It's life in Sweden is not as easy as people think. The weather, for once, chases so many people away. When somebody decides, I want to stay under this minus 30 degrees, minus 25 degrees, it's because there is something chasing the person away from home, where the weather is so beautiful, the vegetation, the climate is so wonderful. So I want to really appreciate that this consciousness of thinking about what chases people away, how it can be addressed, and that those that find themselves here in Europe are integrated to be part of Europe, really, not on the fringes of Europe. Just to make it brief, I was sitting across the aisle with a Nigerian guy from Milan, where I transited last night, and he was telling me about life in Italy, for example. I think he comes here to work sometimes, and he was kind of lamenting and all that. This was a very well-built young man with a lot of ambition. And even in Sweden, there are so many academics that cannot get a job in the universities, and they are doing menial jobs. Even when opportunities come, they are not remembered. They don't get it, and they don't consider themselves as really European, even if they are carrying Swedish European Union passports. So I want to enjoin the European Parliament, and now we are in Malta, and I'm glad to be in this hall today. It's something I will remember for the rest of my life, to think about real integration, not just talking about integration, but actually implementing integration. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. You touched a very important point, which I mentioned in my speech, with regards that you have to be, wherever you are, you have to be, to feel that you belong. And, of course, this is something which is very important, that we have to work on it and emphasize. Any other intervention? Yes? Your name and your place. Welcome.
First of all, I would like to thank you for accepting us here in your parliament and in your country. We're very happy to be here. My name is Ifigenia Tsira, and I came from Hellenic Republic. And I was I loved very much that you noticed that the European Union must do something, must sit and think about the countries that we are in the front of all this immigration, Malta, Italy, and Hellenic Republic, because we have to face this situation. And of course, I believe that no one wants to leave their home, their countries. And maybe the solution is, instead of Europe send money in order to make camp for all the immigrants, it's better to stop, reflect all this. Maybe wars. They want to create wars in Africa or a difficult situation in order to make you to come in Europe. The truth is that every citizen, when go to another country, is not acceptable. We from Hellenic Republic, when we go to England in order to find a job, they don't accept us. They prefer to hire people from their country, in Sweden, of course, and many countries. It's so bad that we all face the same problems. And, of course, we have to think how we must start change our mind. We must change the way of thinking. Not the people in European Union, even you, me and you, and everyone here in this room, must realize that we belong. They want to make us in a family, in European Union, and to be member of a family. We must start thinking that we belong in a family, and instead of closing the border of countries, let's sit and talk about this problem, because many countries of us here, you know very well that you close the borders in the immigrants. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Greece, yes, you can take the floor.
Hello, my name is Ophélie Omnes. I come from France. I have family originating from Martinique, so the islands overseas in the overseas territories that France has. And I would like to like you very much for welcoming us here, but also for having a speech that I would call a true speech. I think it's one of the first times that I actually hear someone from a national parliament talking so true about what diversity and inclusion means in Europe. And I'm absolutely delighted to be having this conversation with you today and within this project. I think that Malta is a small country, but it would have quite some lessons to teach to bigger countries in Europe who face the same issues and who might not always take the responsibility they always have, even bigger responsibility that they may have as being bigger country in the EU. And I think it's really interesting and important that we can discuss these topics at EU level. The European Union has already started to have these conversations. There are still some countries in the European Union that are quite reluctant to really face the challenges. And I mean, I come from a country where it is quite difficult to talk about how do you include this diversity, how do you make the most of it, how do you make your country and Europe, more specifically, a home for everybody. And I think that your speech is the kind of speech we need to hear more often when it comes to officials. And for that, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your contribution and, of course, your opinion about the subject. Do we have another intervention? Yes?
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity that you are giving not only us to address our concerns, but also to our colleagues to talk their opinion, to express their opinion in the highest institution in Malta, the Member of Parliament, the Houses of Parliament. Malta is a democratic country, and there is no other champion that protrudes democracy than the Honourable Speaker. The Honourable Speaker has been fair, has been decisive, and he has ruled. I am not here to elaborate how good he is, but I am here to thank him for his contribution, as well as that of his staff, towards the people, towards their concerns. The last time I was here, I was with physically and mentally handicapped students from Poland. They do not have votes. He will not get their vote. But at least he has shown them that we care. In Malta, everybody is considered as equal. Please stop saying Africa. Africa is just one concern. Greece is another concern. And also the communist countries' influx into Europe is another concern. These are all things we must acknowledge and find ways on how we can tackle that. We are a country, we are a government who is doing its utmost to help this issue. These people have left the country, like you have said. They have left their families and they have made a big sacrifice, crossing the water in cold temperatures, in rough seas, is not good for everybody. 100 people on a small boat that is only good for 20 is not a good idea. Unfortunately, we have to talk more on burden sharing, on helping these people and also their well-being. It is no good we save them, we look good on the media, and then the story ends. Our government is creating programs on integration. We are being used by European countries to say, look, Malta, despite the small country, we can actually take our hands out of the pockets and do something. So please use Malta as a reference. But please use Malta also to seek assistance for our island. We need burden sharing. Our island is sinking with immigrants, be them from Africa, be them from Eastern countries, and also from Europe itself, but this we need for our economy. So we must find the right balance. I am a politician, so I can talk all day, but the speaker always stops me, because he knows I talk passionate. Last time I got a telling off for clapping. I will always remember that, Mr. Speaker. Today I was happy because you are acknowledging his contribution. Maybe you should get a warning also, but we forget about that. But I will close by thanking you, Mr. Speaker. Like I said, you are fair, just, honest, but also I must thank your staff. It was not easy coming here. So many protocols, so many applications, but they made it happen. The speaker has more important things, but he showed that he cared. He cared not for me, not for Margaret. We know the speaker good enough, but he cared for you. He cared for your consent. So once again, Dr. Farrugia, I call him Angelo because I am close, but don't tell that to other people. Please, because I don't want it to sound as disrespect. In fact, it is more of a disrespect. Thank you very much. In Malta, you come as friends, but we want to ensure that you live as family. And we are going to treat you here in these 2 days as family. And as families that we want you to come back again. And again and again. This is how we generate our economy. Okay, so we must look positive. We are talking about immigration and segregation, but look where he has put Samuel, far away from us, because of COVID, sorry. Okay, so, but let us look positive. Samuel, he added color to our project. So let us not criticize these people, the person. He is the nicest person. I am happy to have known you. The first person who I know your name. Otherwise, it's just beautiful, good-looking, and the lady from here. So thank you very much, and thank you for the organizers. And I will say in Maltese, grazie hafna, sir speaker, o grazie hafna, Ergil. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you for your kind words, and of course, your way of expression that almost makes us all feel comfortable. Well, any other intervention before we conclude? Well, I think the most important thing is, because I've been following all interventions, what has been happening in the last 40 years in Europe, and of course following various conflicts, for example in Africa, your country, the continent, there were too many conflicts. I mean, I could name 10 conflicts or even more. For example, what used to happen, there was a conflicts of the pre-colonial conflicts, because, of course, some of your countries were fighting for independence. But also, following that, there were various conflicts with regards to separate conflicts, with regards to secessionist conflict. There were conflicts in Burundi, in Rwanda, Kenya. The list is endless. Your country, also Nigeria, and others. So these in itself, these conflicts created reasons why people had to leave the country. So one of the things that I used to say, and I said it in various conferences, that Europe need to invest more in Africa in order to make the economy of each country more viable. that people can invest there in accordingly without having any problems. So we need to also fight corruption in Africa, where, I mean, you cannot go to a country where corruption is thrive. And this is something which is also part of the totality, how to fight migration. On the other hand, Europe has to understand a very important scientific value, which is being now analyzed, is that the population growth in Europe is close to zero. That is, somehow, the birth rate is very low. And who is going to do the economy of Europe in the next 25 years, 30 years, when most of the population would be aged over 60 or 65? So we have the question of trying to balance what we need to do together, both continents. We need to understand Europe and Africa. We need to understand how to balance things in order to continue on having a healthier population in each respective country in the next 50-100 years. So these are areas where we need. However, one thing, and which I like to close this important, I would say, session, is that definitely solidarity needs to be effective. The least developed countries, wherever they are, including Europe, needs to be assisted in order to overcome their difficulties. If we don't understand this, then we are not walking the talk. We're just talking. Thank you very much.